My pleasure once again to check in with the folks at Sanford Health and talk about the subject that never goes away, COVID-19. We have Dr. Colleen Swank with me. She's the Vice President of Clinic and a pediatrician. Once again, Dr. Swank, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. And you have the promise that when COVID does go away, that you have me back so that I can prove to you that I can talk about something else.
I will. We'll talk children maybe in the future.
That would be great.
Well, I think it's safe to say we are spiking here in Beltrami County. It's been a big conversation around the area the last week to 2 weeks. Give us just an overall picture of what has happened in Beltrami and what you maybe even know about surrounding counties as well.
Sure. And so what we are seeing, and again, this is, remember that the numbers that I'm going to give you are what we're testing for in our area. So it might not be specifically to Beltrami County, but it'll be close.
Okay.
And so as of today, we have had 554 positive cases since we started, but 176 of those are new within the last 2 weeks. And so if you look at the percentages there, you can see that we've had quite an increase in the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
We're seeing that really within the surrounding areas as well. Minnesota has had, as a whole, has had a day where their number of positive cases was at an all-time high since the pandemic started. North Dakota and South Dakota are also seeing increased cases.
And it just seems that this, like everything else we talk about in the United States of America in 2020, has been politicized. So I don't want it to be politicized, but I do want to ask the question, why do we think this is happening?
I think that there's a few different reasons. Number one, we're really sick of following the rules and staying masked and staying apart from one another. I don't care what political party you belong to. I would say that that's universal. I think that as the weather is cooling off and we're starting to be more indoors, I think that there was some initial idea that after 6 months that things would be better. And so I think businesses and other things are trying to come back to normal. So people that were maybe doing virtual work from home are going back to the office. And so I think there's multiple reasons why this is happening.
Well, certainly we're seeing bigger groups of people together. Schools are back in session. Most of them have at least some in-school learning going on. Churches are starting to open up. Most of them are being very, very diligent, from what I can tell, as to, trying to be socially distanced, enforce masks. But as you see a real ramp up with more and more groups, like you say, people going back to the office as well, it just makes sense that we're going to see an increase.
Yep. And then we knew that we would see an increase after, we saw an increase after the 4th of July holiday. We're seeing an increase after the Memorial Day, Labor Day holiday. And I imagine anything that you see big groups getting together, weddings, rallies, not to be political, but rallies, anything where you're putting people close together and variability in whether they're masked is going to lead to more cases.
It's a balancing act between trying to maintain some mental health with, as you noted, people being together and doing things that they, and trying to keep separate and be safe. What's the overall feeling in the medical community about this increase in group activities?
I think that our stance has been the same all along, is that you really have to pay attention to your distance between one another and the masking. And we know that the masking isn't 100%, but it definitely decreases that risk of transmission. And so we agree that kids need to interact with kids, and we need to have life go on, but we just can't do it the same way as we always did it. And so we need to be strategic in our thinking and say, okay, our end goal is we want to have football, for example. How can we still have football and keep everybody safe?
I know that, as you mentioned football, that is joining the activities in the next week or two, as is volleyball. What we have seen in neighboring states has been the ability to do that, and they have had really very low COVID transmission. So it seems that if you really are taking care, and even in a group activity, if you're you know, dotting your I's and crossing your T's, as it were, you can make it happen.
I agree. It's just we have to get over the feelings of loss of not being able to do it the same way that we used to be able to do it.
Right. Certainly one of the big things that's happened since Labor Day has been schools are back in session. We've heard of some reports in various schools. I know Brainerd had to go to a distance model after starting out in a hybrid model. Are we seeing a lot of transmission amongst school-age kids right now?
We have not seen a lot of transmission, and we've been working closely with the schools, and they're really, really working hard to keep kids and teachers and staff safe. So they really should be all commended. And same with parents. I mean, the parents, it really relies on the parents doing the right things as well. And so, you know, keeping their kids home if they do have a symptom, or if they were exposed to somebody that is known positive, raising that up. You know, I can think of times where I, as a kid, went to school with a cold, or you know, maybe I had a fever in the morning. You know, we just can't do that anymore. And so it is really the parents that are doing a wonderful job as well.
I've been really impressed, using my grandson as a model, as one who I thought would have no way he'd keep a mask on. But kids seem to have been able to adapt to this a lot better than some of us grown-ups who've been on the planet a little longer.
Yeah, I think that it's just, you know, like putting on socks for them, right? So, you know, you're going to definitely have kids that are going to be a little unhappy with it, but when they see everybody else is doing it, they tend to want to be the same as everyone else. And so our compliance with children is usually pretty good. I still see patients in the office, in the clinic, and I haven't seen any kids that have had difficulty, and some of them are 3 years old, and they're sitting there with their masks on when I come into the clinic.
Yeah, he has no problem with masks. He does have a problem keeping the socks on, though, but no problem with the mask.
not in a couple more weeks, probably.
One of the things you have worked really hard at Sanford since this went down, and I think I remember being at that first big meeting back in, I think it was either late February or March, I think it was March, and that has been to slow that spread, to manage the peak. Now we've seen a spike. How is it going at the hospital and your other facilities right now with that spike?
Yeah, and I think when we met before, way back in March, our big concern was that there were going to be so many patients that needed such critical care, and we didn't know exactly how to treat patients at that time. Well, we've had 6 months to learn a lot about this virus, and so across the nation, the morbidity and mortality have improved because we've learned how to care for patients. Since this all began, we have taken care of 31 patients in the hospital due to COVID, and currently we have 8 in the hospital today, and things have been going very well. I think the staff are feeling very comfortable with how to care for patients that happen to have COVID, and certainly our physicians have learned a ton and are following standard of care and are doing an excellent job in making sure that we're doing exactly the right thing for these patients.
So even with 176 new in the last 2 weeks, we've only had to deal with 8 people in the hospital at this point.
Today there are 8.
Today. Oh, there had been others.
Yeah.
Okay.
31 total.
Okay.
The other thing to remember is when we get positives, usually the hospitalization rate is a little bit delayed. And so the people that are positive, that we find out are positive today, may not be sick enough to need to be in the hospital for another week or even up to 2 weeks. That's a little bit of the thing that's a little bit weird about this virus is the kind of delayed onset.
One of the things that I keep hearing about and I read it out and I'm trying to keep up on it as best I can is, you know, as this goes on, as more and more months go by, more and more people get it, we see different kinds of symptoms that we hadn't seen it earlier. What are some of the newest things we're finding out about COVID right now?
Well, I think that a lot of the symptoms are the ones that we've been hearing about all along. And so the fever, the shortness of breath, cough, but also then runny nose and congestion were added. Vomiting and diarrhea were added. Headache was added. And, of course, loss of taste and smell was added later on. And so there is a little bit of a difficulty because there's so many symptoms that are widespread. Huh. Fatigue is another one. Excessive fatigue is another one that can be a symptom of COVID.
So pretty much any symptom you would get for any other illness on Earth could be a COVID symptom as well.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
Yeah, I think that the common ones are the most common, and mm-hmm. that is the congestion, the fever, mm-hmm. The cough, and then typically the loss of taste and smell is a later symptom, and so usually by the time people have had those symptoms, they've had some other ones.
You know, I know a lot of people, and you know, I've talked to people at work, and they say, "Boy, I have a sore throat, but I'm afraid to have it tested because then I got to stay home for 2 weeks because of company policy." We have to be able to shake that off and do what we need to do anyway, don't we?
I think so. We do have to do the right thing, and yeah, sore throat is another example of one that I neglected to mention, and it's hard because you know this time of year, some of us have, you know, allergies to things that are popping up right now, ragweed and that type of thing. And we think, oh, it's just our normal allergy, or, oh, I want to see how this goes before I raise the flag. And I think that we do just have to take care of one another. And by doing that, we do have to do the uncomfortable thing is raising up when we have these symptoms, even if they turn out to be nothing.
I know that there is a testing event going on. I'm not sure if that's still going on at this point, but how many tests have we performed in the area lately?
So with the testing event, that was through the Minnesota Department of Health.
Okay.
And that was a free mass testing event, and it's been September 29th to October 1st, which is today. And I have not heard how many that they have tested for that. As far as Sanford Health of Northern Minnesota, the number of tests that we've done have been 11,593 as of this morning.
Okay. I was reading that in Asia, where they've had a number of these types of pandemics and epidemics in the past, that when people, during flu season, if you have symptoms of flu, it's just a kind of a common courtesy thing that people just grab a mask and they wear it until, you know, they're healed of that. I wonder if we'll ever get to that point here.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And I'm really curious about what is going to happen this flu season. My desire is that anybody that is able to get an influenza vaccine will get it, because we just don't know what happens when somebody has both influenza and COVID at the same time. We just don't have a lot of information on that yet. And also because of the overlapping symptoms, we don't want to have people have influenza and we're worried that they have COVID, or have COVID and it ends up being influenza. So theoretically, if we do the right thing as far as social distancing and masking, influenza seems to be less contagious than COVID, and so if we're doing those things plus getting the influenza vaccine, then the number of influenza cases could be lower this season than what we normally see.
When this all began, we all were diving headlong into something we had no idea we were doing, and it's still, in a lot of ways, we're learning on the fly, and we're adjusting to work, and we're adjusting to, as we noted, social behaviors and friendships and parties and what we can and cannot do. What has been the one thing since we dove in back in March to now that has surprised you the most that you didn't expect?
Oh, there's so many things that I didn't expect. And I think some of it some of it was wishful thinking, because if I went back and read about it, a lot of the things, you know, I scheduled a trip for September back in April, and I thought for sure that you know, travel would be back to normal, and of course it isn't. You know, conferences and things like that, I thought that we would be doing some of those things. So that's probably the biggest thing personally for me. The thing that I'm most impressed about is how well the medical community has come together and how great the information sharing has been. And so, you know, if you remember correctly, way back in March and April, it was New York that was getting hit so hard. And we have physicians that have all along been talking to their counterparts in the state of New York to help us be prepared for when we started having patients here.
I know when we first heard of it as well, first in China, then I think in Italy it was the big one, and then, of course, when it hit New York, we just heard these stories of doctors in ERs that were just never, it was never ending, and we were exhausted, and, you know, some of them having some PTSD-type issues after so many hours and so many days and so many weeks. We haven't seen that here or really even in the metro area too much, I don't think, have we?
No, not as much, and I think again, the fact that we had a little bit of time between the start of this to when we started seeing more cases was helpful. Back then, they were putting more patients on ventilators, and so they were running out of equipment. You know, in New York, they had issues with the PPE, keeping their staff safe. And those are things that we just really haven't had an issue with. We were able to obtain enough equipment if we needed it, and certainly enough PPE this entire time. And so some of that anxiety, I think, really helps. That's not to say that physicians haven't been burned out or stressed, mm-hmm. because it has been hard. And, you know, some of the secondary effects of COVID, so you'll remember that we talked about when things were more closed down, that people weren't coming in for their routine care. And so it's very stressful then seeing them come in now in a worse situation than if they would have continued to receive their care, or seeing someone that didn't get their mammogram or their colonoscopy and they're farther along in their cancer staging than maybe they would have been if they would have come in. And so that part is really stressful and a little demoralizing, I think, for physicians and staff.
And I know, you know, you're not in the laboratories where they're doing all the experiments, but what is the medical community hearing as far as the vaccine progress at this point?
I think that they've been fairly transparent with the public, as they have within the walls of our organization. And that, you know, there are some companies that have vaccines that are heading into and are in phase 3 trial, and that it's looking hopeful for a vaccine coming out within the next several months. I think one of the hard things is when you develop a vaccine and you're to the stage where you're giving it to people, then in a normal situation, you let that person become exposed. So let's say it was chickenpox back when we had were first developing the chickenpox vaccine, and chickenpox back then was pretty widely around. You'd give the volunteer the vaccine, and then wait and see if they got exposed to chickenpox, and then if they did and they didn't get the disease, they didn't get chickenpox, then you would know that it was working and great. But you don't actually expose that person to the disease, especially if it's something that could cause death. So with COVID, it's just harder because you don't have the time to wait and see how effective it's going to be over a long period of time. And so I believe that it'll be a safe vaccine, but it'll be interesting to see how effective it is. Because, again, you can't give the vaccine to somebody and then say, okay, now go stand next to somebody that has COVID and we'll see what happens to you.
Right, right. Well, as we wrap this one up, Dr. Swank, anything more we want to say or any final thoughts as people continue to go through life with COVID-19?
So, number one, get your flu vaccine. Number two, continue to wear your masks and continue to do your best physically distancing, especially if you don't have masks on. And remember to continue to get your routine care, that's important. And probably finally, if you're feeling stressed, anxiety, depression, those are real things that we're seeing across the country, and it's really important that you make sure that you're talking to somebody about that, and so call or come in. We just don't want to see the increased rates of depression, suicide, and those things because of this increased stressor.
Okay. I tell you one thing, if I was a visionary, I would have invested in Zoom and fashion masks.
For sure. Yep. Netflix and a bunch of those things, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I always appreciate you taking time to share with us and being transparent and letting us know what's going on. It's always great to hear. And, of course, it every now and then these things happen that cause it to be front and center in our minds again. But if we can keep it front and center every day, I think it'll be much more helpful as we get into the winter months.
I agree. And just take care of yourself and be kind to one another. It's stressful for everybody, and you just don't know what the person next to you is going through. So give people a little more grace.
Dr. Colleen Swank, Vice President Clinic and a pediatrician at Sanford Health. She spends a lot of time with us getting us updated on COVID-19, which we really appreciate. And I'm good to go with another conversation at some point in the future.
It would be nice sooner rather than later, right?
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Swank. We appreciate it.
Thank you for the time. I appreciate it.